Welcome back to another episode of Vanguard Radio. I'm your host, J. Richard Jones, and today we're going to talk a little bit about training and innovation versus experience. We have a very special guest joining us from CAE. Our guest is Mr. Philip Perry, who is head of technology for the Defense and Security Group. We're going to take a look at how CAE is helping in a variety of environments where safety, mission readiness, and successful outcomes are critical. So first of all, Philip, welcome to the show.
Nice to be here, John. Thanks for having me.
Now, before the show, we were just chatting, and I'd asked you, you know, what is that one thing, if in a sentence or two, that you'd like our listenership and readership to know about what CAE does? And you said, well, the mission would be to make training more efficient and more effective and more engaging. And I thought that was very interesting, especially when you were talking about the experience for students and helping them to be more engaged, to make things more adaptable, and then, of course, some of the technologies. So I guess to start with our first question of the day, Philip, what are some of the indicators that are showing that military training needs to be updated? Is it all the technology growth, or what is it?
Well, I mean, John, what I often put forward is technology is subservient to the problem we're trying to solve. So I think we have to take a step back and say, what are the problems that we're trying to address here? And foundationally, many of our customers, many military forces across the world face an incredible challenge in delivering the quantity and quality of pilots that are needed to assure the sovereignty and to support all the mission readiness that those defense forces need. And so the problem here is really pressing. Now, granted, the COVID might have slowed that down a little bit, and then it's peaking back up as airlines start to come in and hire away a lot of those seasoned veterans. And so the problem is greater, is as great as it's ever been. So one is the aspect of delivering pilots. Now, very connected to that is if you want to scale up, you now also need to have more instructors. And the problems with instructors are pilots themselves, right? So you have to, in some regards, you know, reduce your mission readiness, take those instructors off the front line to have them train more pilots. So it's a problem there as well. So there isn't an easy solution path to get to where you achieve the amount of throughput and the quality of the students that you need for the needs of tomorrow. So certainly pilot shortage, instructor shortage are some of the key aspects. And we have to appreciate that the way training is delivered is the needs of the learner are very different today. You think of my young adult son going through university. This is not about sitting in a classroom and passively absorbing what the instructor is teaching up on the stage. It's about interacting with the peers. It's about collaborating. It's about experiential learning. So it's about learning in many different ways that we didn't really have exposure to, or didn't, the technology wasn't there to allow us to do that. So it is really about shifting what we call a more student-centric learning, where students take charge of their learning journey and can use their peers and the instructor and the tools to progress faster. And of course, if we're in there and have the right data sets to track how these students are performing, well, we have an opportunity to glean insights to how that student is progressing and hopefully identify very early if they're having difficulties in a specific area and take remedial action. So adjusting the training plan as that student progresses, making it tailored to that individual to ultimately achieve better success, better proficiency by the time they graduate, and hopefully reduce the washout rate of those students as they go through the program.
Yeah, I would imagine that would be a key factor to the whole process. What are some of the key issues that are driving the need for the updated training?
Well, you know, we program throughput has got to be right there at the top. I mean, how do we make this more efficient in both cost and schedule? And you know, you talk to the leadership in the U.S. Air Force and other countries, and they'll say, you know, training hasn't changed in over 60 years. You know, when they were going through the training programs and when their sons were going through the training programs, it hasn't changed much. So outdated training methodologies, I think, is something that is a clear indicator that we need to adjust and sort of embrace new modes of learning for that new generation. Now, fortunately, I think we have an opportunity here, John, with the advances of data analytics and immersive tools to help transform that. I mean, why couldn't we do this 10, 15, 20 years ago? Well, a lot of that capability wasn't at our fingertips. So now, as we look at this through the lens of making it more attractive for the students, we can also embrace many of these capabilities. It could be virtual reality, extended reality, or AI and data analytics to really get a better pulse of how those students are progressing.
Yeah, I got to believe that AI is a game changer and a lot of the virtual training to enhance and measure the process a little better. Do you think it helps with the retention rates and actually the absorption? As you said, you know, people learn differently, right? Does it help to keep people and have better success in the programs?
I think it absolutely does. And I think what we see the enablers, you know, we can sort of dissect AI as a tool that can be used in different facets. One of them is to act as a virtual coach to the student, as a think of him as a virtual, him or her as a virtual instructor who's coaching you through the maneuvers. So as you're flying a simulator, the system is guiding you, coaching you through the maneuver, and based on how you're performing, is saying, "Hey, you know, you watch out for this and check that, and this was well done," and adapts based on your prior trials. You know, if five times you've come in and you've been landing a bit too fast, well, the system will remind you. Well, remember, check your airspeed here, make sure that your airspeed's correct, and so you're basically tailoring the coaching that goes on to help that student through to success, not only to a level of minimum skills proficiency, but hopefully to a level of, you know, maximum proficiency that can be attained on that particular training device. And that means that students that, you know, once you make that decoupling between the instructor and the student, it now you sort of have a force multiplier with the instructor by using AI tools. So now the students can be flying a lot more, can be coached a lot more with the overarching oversight of the instructor that's looking in and saying, okay, John's tried this 12 times, has succeeded very well. Paul over here is having a bit of a challenge. Clearly, I should step in, spend a bit more time with Paul, and see how I can help that individual through. And so that's sort of the adaptive part. And there's a backbone of data analytics there that's you know, over time is building out a fingerprint of that student. So all of a sudden, you have a very clear indication and a very early indication where John and Paul all of a sudden are on different paths. You know, there's a potential failure of one of those students that will need to have action early. And get into that a bit later, but we talk about micro learning and to tailor that training delivery so that you can address the needs that are really indicated and go faster in areas where students are clearly overachieving. So I think it makes the whole experience far more engaging.
Well, I could see how that helps to customize. I think it also probably catches maybe small bad habits before they became big bad habits, yeah. I guess. Yeah, yeah. Philip, maybe you could give us also some examples of some of the specific measures that defense organizations are looking at right now in order to update training.
Well, certainly, there's a number of tools and capabilities, and you know, looking at you know, solid quantitative measures on student performance in their training program. So, data analytics, as we call it more broadly, what does that mean? Well, it means that I can now monitor potentially hundreds of parameters in the simulator, far more than any given instructor could ever monitor by themselves and use that to provide metrics-based insights as to how that student is performing. Now, that's great. It's something that that we've done a lot on the civil side, and now we're bringing to the defense market with a product called CAE Rise. But we're going one step further, and we're saying, hey, are there other parameters that we can use the individual's emotional state, looking at biometrics, is a high heart rate, galvanic skin response. I mean, just body temperature. Is this a maneuver that should be really simple, and yet the student's got a heart rate pumping out 150? Maybe that's an indication that the student hasn't really fully mastered, even though they're doing quite well, that they may not have fully mastered that particular maneuver. Another thing we look at a lot is gaze. So we track the student's gaze, and for those pilots out there, you know, this traditional triangular scan pattern, you look out the window, you look down at your instruments, and there's a very prescribed preferred pattern of scanning. Well, students that haven't mastered this will typically display very poor and rapid eye movement across these areas, and that's an indication that they haven't really assimilated all the knowledge they need and the skills proficiency they need to be successful. So I think there's tremendous potential to bring that capability and to use it in a way that's, you know, you're tracking the student from that very early learning exercise in undergraduate pilot training up to where they get their wings and then off into their operational units.
It's really interesting that data is able to track biometrics and, you know, obviously the use of AI and adaptive learning. You mentioned CAE Rise. Is that correct? Is that one of the current innovations that you guys are working on?
So, absolutely. So CAE Rise is that data analytics tool. I mean, we've now, this is a nice area of crossover between civil and defense. We've started this development about 5 years ago, now deployed it to over 100 simulators in our civil training network. And that's captured, you know, well over 300,000 training events across a whole fleet of different platforms. So you can imagine the size of that data lake. It's just huge. And, you know, for those that are familiar with AI, AI needs data, right? It's the power is in feeding it all those data sets. And what we see now is, hey, we can take that, cross it over into the defense market, and use that to improve the training delivery. Now, it's not just all about the data, but I think that's one of the components that's really important, is we can get those insights. I mean, some of the challenges that heads of instruction have often faced is, well, you know, students are failing over here. I'm not quite sure why, but let's adjust the curriculum because my gut tells me that there's something here that I need to tackle. Whereas now, when you do it with this data-grounded backbone, you can now go in, get the students that performed with that before the curriculum change, look at how the students performed after, and you've actually grounded that improvement and actually have a measurable, you know, 3% improvement in washout rate by making that one individual change. And I think that's a powerful way of using data to help drive continuous improvement in terms of training.
So what kind of hurdles are you experiencing in moving forward to this whole training transformation?
I think there's a number of hurdles. I think the I would say probably the first factor is adoption rate. This is as I said a bit earlier, you know, training's been delivered the same way for 60 years. So you come up with this proposition to do things in a much more efficient, much more student-centric way. Well, there's inherently a bit of conservatism that comes in, saying, oh, wait a second, how is this going to affect my crews? How are they going to embrace this? Where has this been done before? And I want to tip my hat to what the U.S. Air Force has done under Pilot Training Next and Pilot Training Transformation, because those two programs were sort of watershed programs that demonstrated just how different training can be and just how more how incredibly more effective and efficient it can be. And you know, as many will say, if it's good enough for the U.S. Air Force, it's probably good enough for me. And that sort of is a great example of some of the hurdles we faced. So let's embrace this. Let's look at how we can move it even beyond what pilot training transformation is doing, and bring those tool sets to solve the problems that our customers face. So that's certainly, I think one aspect that's got to be right up there. I think another aspect is long-term contractual agreements. You know, we go on these multi-year cycles of signing up to deliver training a certain way, and there isn't much incentive for industry or frankly even government to change it, right? It's sort of like, well, we're going to renew this program. It's under the same scope as we had before. We make a few minor tweaks. This, I think, would require a more collaborative and partnership environment where the contract can change as a function of adding value to the customer. And I think that would be a powerful enabler so that some of these technologies can be trialed, can be experimented, prototyped, and ultimately productionized faster than in the traditional rigid contractual environment.
Yeah, I could see how that would make sense. Philip, at the beginning of our show, we were talking a little bit about transformational training, innovation versus experience. And that begs the question, what's more important in the delivery of training transformation, experience or innovation, or both?
Well, there, John. I think it's both. I think that, what's important is to understand the current environment in how training is delivered. So I think in that regard, experience is important to understand those challenges. And ultimately, to embrace innovation as a solution to help solve those problems. And so I think it is a question of having both experience and having a mindset of applying innovation to these training challenges. And I think there's tremendous potential there to help customers with these training challenges of efficiency, of effectiveness, and ultimately of engagement. I mean, we see this now with a lot of these younger generations. They want to be engaged. They want to be excited. They want to use these new technologies. And I think that there's potential there to increase the retention of those younger students that are coming through the program, and that in itself will help address some of the pilot challenges that we face.
Yeah, for sure. One last question. I usually ask my guests, you know, where do you see your industry or your products in 5 years? In your particular case, the training is moving so fast, technology is moving so fast. I think I'd like to ask you, where do you see the training transformation experience in 12 to 24 months?
Oh my, my view on this, John, is that in 12 to 24 months, if we're successful in getting the word out, is this is going to look very different. And I think that if we can get a number of early customers on board, we're doing some of the work right now with the Japanese. Interesting enough, the Japanese Air Self Defense Force in doing trials, and so we had access to 30 undergraduate pilots who tried our system out with the AI coaching. The feedback was phenomenal. The students were excited. They loved it. The data analytics, they were able within an hour to improve a full grade, 1 hour.
Oh, wow.
On flying the device, they were able to improve a full grade. And it happened of whether the students had low experience, high performance, low performance. It was systematic across the board. Every student improved just flying this device for an hour. So I think in 12 to 24 months, what I would hope to accomplish is get that out there, get customers on board, and do more of these trials, the prototyping, and ultimately getting this to where it really matters, right? Is to training large classrooms of students and getting them their wings and ready for tomorrow.
Well, it sounds like a fantastic program, and your passion and knowledge for it certainly comes through. Philip, you're going to be at CANSEC this year. I'm just curious, what can our listenership and readership expect to see? Because we've talked about a lot of technology here. I'm sure you guys have some good stuff planned.
Absolutely. We do have a number of interesting demonstrations for our audience at CANSEC, one of which will be a CAE Sprint VR trainer. This is simulating a fixed-wing aircraft, but integrated in with AI coaching. So the students will be coached in a landing and to take off, and we'll see the automatic grading of the student based on that performance. Biometrics watch, looking at their biometrics feed in real time, and this is very much the same setup we had for the Japanese back in January, where we had 30 students come in and conduct the trials. So pretty exciting about showcasing that capability. Also, on the other side of the booth, we'll have the Vista and JTAC training tools. So Vista is a virtual ISR trainer, which allows to train the ISR operators in terms of engaging in detecting targets and assigning targets. And so that's a pretty unique capability in the industry, as well as communicating in with a JTAC, so terminal air controller, so calling in for air support. So a lot of interesting and interactive tools and training devices that we'll have at CANSEC.
Sounds like it. I look forward to that. You've been listening to Vanguard Radio, and the topic has been Modern Military Training, Innovation versus Experience. Our special guest today has been Philip Perry, Head of Technology for Defense and Security Group with CAE. I want to thank you so much for coming on, and I hope you'll come back in 12 months so we can see how much this has advanced.
Thank you very much, John. Great. Thank you very much for having me, and I do look forward to coming back.
The views, information, or opinions expressed during the Vanguard Weekly Podcast Series, CGE Weekly Podcast Series, Vanguard Radio Podcast, and CGE Radio Podcast are solely those of the individuals involved and do not represent those of Vanguard or any affiliated media products, their employees, or owners. Vanguard Magazine, Canadian Government Executive Magazine, and its affiliates are not responsible for and do not verify for accuracy any of the information contained in this podcast series. This podcast may not be copied or distributed without express written approval of Promotive Communications, Inc., PCI. You may not edit, modify, or redistribute this podcast without consent from PCI. PCI assumes no liability for activities in connection with this podcast or for